But yeah, today we're going to continue our study, Life Together as a Local Church, Class 16, Evangelism and the Growth of the Local Church. So as we start, let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we come before you this morning and we're grateful for who you are, for what you have done for us in Christ, how you have loved us, what you're doing in us and through us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much that you're gathering people for yourself of all nations, all tribes, all languages, and that you are doing the work through us and through your word as we proclaim the gospel. Thank you so much for the privilege of preaching the gospel, and help us to be faithful even today. Help us to learn more about evangelism and how to share the gospel, and I pray that you would be glorified through this lesson and that you give me grace and help. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, today we're going to continue our study, so we're going to just start by reviewing things. Pastor Greg's been teaching through this series, so just to review, there, number one, the reason for the local church is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is gathering and preparing his people for heaven. That is what God is doing through his church. And so Jesus, second, gathers and prepares his people by the preaching of his word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, relating to our study here today, Jesus commissions his church to do the work of evangelism in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus commissions his church to do the work of evangelism, to go out and share the gospel. We are commissioned, Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them, and Christ is going with us. So that's what we've been given. I want to start today by asking a very convicting question. How many have you, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'm just throwing it out there. How many have you shared the gospel this past week? You evangelized. It's very convicting for all of us when we talk about this topic. You know, some of you haven't evangelized since last year, which wasn't that long ago, but we all feel convicted in some points or not. You know, that we should evangelize more because this is the commission God has given, left with us. And hell is real. Hell is hot. We should strive by his grace to preach the gospel. We know that is true, but it's hard for us a lot of times to be bold, to actually go out. And so today, the key point of today's lesson, the thing that you could walk away from here, that you need to understand that being part of the church is such an amazing thing that, you know, to help us in evangelism, help us in sharing Christ. The church is the grand witness of God's love in Christ to a watching world. This is what the church is to a watching world. The church is the grand picture, this picture of love in Christ to a watching world. And this is what we're going to see in our text. Pastor Greg's been developing this text in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So if you could turn there, if I can have someone read that for us this morning. Who could read that? Go ahead. Acts 2, 42 through 47.
Okay, this is Acts 2, 42.
I'm sorry. Yes, my fault. You sound great.
Thanks.
Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
So let me just ask you the question is, what do you see there in that text that is evangelistic, or what kind of things, you know, stick out from that text that show that they were actually about, you know, preaching Christ, preaching the gospel. Yes, that praising God and having favor with all people, the Lord added to there. So they were actually having favor with the people of the city, and they were looking at them. Who are these people? They're aliens or something. They're not of this world. They would actually be drawn by this amazing love that they would have for one another, by the sacrifices that they would make for each other, and the unity that they would have. And the Lord would add. Yeah, so there's one. Anything else that you see there? Yes, Cindy? So even as they were gathering, they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were preaching the word. They were proclaiming the gospel. And so, and we know, we see it all throughout the book of Acts. When we look at the content of what was preached, we all see that Christ was proclaimed. Christ was magnified. He was exalted and shown to be the Savior of the world. And so I believe that's, you know, that's what they were doing corporately. And then I believe also as they scattered, they would also preach the gospel. They would do that as well. Another text we could look at, but I'll just mention 1 Peter 2:9. Peter describes Christians as God's people, as chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And what is the purpose of God's people? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we are called to proclaim the glories of Christ, what He has done for us. We are, in one sense, even priests. We're set apart, we're holy for this task, so that we would be these people who have this ministry in this world to connect people and to share with them, you know, the glorious treasure that we have received. And then John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." All people of this world will know that we are Christ's disciples, not by our, you know, many people would say, by things that a lot of times, visible things maybe we do, by things that we, you know, maybe preach or things like of that sense, but meaning it's the love, it's what is seen the most, is when we actually could truly love one another and be united in the gospel. We're of different family. They will know us by our love. There's that song, I don't know if you know it. They will know us by our love. So the purpose of today's lesson is first to grow in our understanding of evangelism as the local church, and then second, to reflect on some ways we can implement witness in our lives and in our local church. So that's our purpose for today. How can we, as a local church, grow in our understanding of evangelism and growth of the local church? This is our title today. So we know that growth of the local church, God is the one who adds. That's what even the Acts passage shows us. They were added that day about 3,000 souls, and God is the one who adds. But we are called to evangelize. We are called to share the gospel. So first, we need to understand the congregation's responsibility for evangelism. That is our responsibility. We need to understand that. So first, I want to just look at this definition. I modified from the Nine Marks website. They have some articles there, but evangelism is sharing the gospel with the aim to persuade. That's what evangelism is. It's sharing the gospel with the aim to persuade. It's not hoarding it in. It's not you trying to keep it all to yourself, but actually it's now you go out and you share it with others. Another way of saying it is to teach, to preach with the aim to persuade. Or if this was amplified definition, evangelism is teaching, meaning to proclaim, to herald, to persuade the gospel, the message of God that He gave to us to be reconciled with Him. And with the aim of hope, desire, goal, to persuade, to convince, to win them over so they would be converted. So now we know that ultimately God does the saving. God does the work. He alone can truly save. We cannot do that We cannot open blind eyes, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit who opens up eyes. But we need to be faithful. We need to not just use our excuses to say, well, I'll just pray and God will do the work. No, we are called actually to proclaim, to preach the gospel, to share with the aim to convince, to win them over. We need to have an aim to persuade. And that's interesting because a lot of times I think, well, even this past youth group that we had at the after our usual teaching time, we then break into groups and we were leading, you know, just ladies with ladies, guys with guys. And the question came up, can you just summarize the gospel? And Tyler was leading that time. And so one of our, you know, people here that even shared the gospel, and he got all the points right, but he left out one main thing, and that's, you know, the response. What do you do with that gospel? I mean, he had all the content right. He hit every point, but so it's not just data transfer where you just transfer and you just let them do whatever. But then you actually have to also have this aim to persuade him. Come on, follow Christ. You know, you have to believe in him in order to be saved. That's, you repent and you trust in what Christ has done for you. So we should answer gently with someone who asks of us. There's going to be times when people ask you for the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3:15. But what we're talking about here is evangelizing, sharing the gospel, and we want to go with the aim to persuade. We want to have this heart of, as Jesus calls us, to be fishers of men. You know, fishers of men, they don't just simply throw in the thing, but they actually have to pull it out. Once the fish bites, you start pulling it in, and, you know, if it snaps, you don't get upset, you know, and try to catch it or something, but you just simply trying to draw in those who are God's. And so that's one of the things that, as a fisher of men, that's an illustration for us to remember that we need to also pull them in. Our aim is to see people moved by God's grace through the message of the gospel, from darkness to light, from being in bondage to sin to freedom in Him. Now, second, evangelism isn't it's both individual responsibility and a team effort. So there is your blank there. It's both an individual responsibility and a team effort. Some Christians might see that evangelism is only for the church, and there are many churches out there who actually structure their services around this very point. They see the needs of interest of unbelievers, of those who are coming in, and so they grow like crazy because, you know, people are coming for the, just because their interests are being tickled. And so seeker-sensitive churches, you know, some people insert zip lines in their churches to make it more fun for the younger youth groups, you know. But others might see evangelism as my personal thing. It's my thing, or maybe responsibility of parachurches, ministries. So there's Harvest, you know, big stadiums and all these. So we need to help that kind of a thing. But I think it's both. We need to understand that in the book of Acts, we see both individuals who share the gospel, like Philip, who individually shared the gospel. And then there's like Peter in chapter 2 who actually stand up, and then, you know, you have his other men with him, the apostles, and he's proclaiming the gospel. I'm sure everyone's that's praying and also then preaching the gospel in the gathered a kind of a place. We see that church is a community of people who both worship Christ alone and worship Christ together with the body, who read the scripture alone and also read the scripture together with the body, who evangelizes alone and then together with the body. By individual, I mean, obviously, when you're alone, in the sense of when there's no other Christians, because you're never alone. Christ said, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. So you're never alone, but meaning when you're not with other believers around you. So when you're not with other Christians. So as Christians, we're called to live out a life together in a local church and when we are alone in such a way that the world will see the power of the gospel in us, that we've been transformed by this gospel that we're trying to proclaim. So evangelism is the work of the church. And think about it, the church is also there because of evangelism in one sense. So if you are saved, then you have a charge from Jesus himself. You have a charge from the King of Kings to go now and proclaim the gospel, to share Christ. And obviously, he gave us the Holy Spirit. You're not on your own. So you go to church to get equipped to do the work of the ministry, and ministry includes evangelism as well. Every Christian, remember that, every Christian must evangelize. Luke 6:45 says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if your heart is grateful for what God has done for you, if your heart is overflowing with, with delights in the gospel, you will be able to share. You're not going to be able to keep your mouth shut. It's just like when you're excited about something else, an engagement here. By the way, congratulations. You're not going to be able to just stay quiet and not share. You're going to make everyone, hey, did you know this is what happened? Look at this ring. And it's exciting. And that's something, has to also be with the gospel, that we are so excited, we're so thankful for what God has done for us in Christ. And we can't just, keep it in. We share it with others. Next, we see evangelism should point to Christ and not ourselves. That's very important. Evangelism points to God, not the church, in one sense. Meaning, if you're trying to convince someone to join a club, you would point to all the benefits of the club, the activities, the food that you get, all the stuff that goes on in that club. But this is way different. We're preaching the gospel, we're preaching the person of God and who came to us in Christ. So you must know the gospel. You must understand what is the gospel. If I would just stop you right now, and if you're claiming to be a Christian, would you be able to summarize the gospel? Does anyone want to do that real quick? So God the Father created the whole world for his glory. Then what happened? We have all, it's a summary, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And now we're destined to go to hell, to judgment. So that's a reality. And then what happened? What's the good news? God sent his son, who was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, a sacrificial, substitutionary death on our behalf. And so then he rose again, now seated in heaven. So that's what Christ has done. He's interceding for us, for those who are believers. And now, how do you respond to that glorious message of what Christ has done?
Faith.
Faith. Trusting in Christ. Yeah, you repent from your sins, and you trust in Christ. That's what the Bible calls us to do. That's a summary. His work is applied to us when we repent and put our faith in what he has done for us. So we're talking about ministry or reconciliation. It's not just this club that we're introducing to people. Hey, join us and you'll be in. No, that's not how people get to heaven. They need to be reconciled. That's why it's called the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. We are Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, through us to be reconciled to God. So it's a higher and much greater task. Now, the good news is that you can be reconciled to God first and then towards others. So that's an interesting thing to note, because a lot of people, they say, well, you want to fix this, you want to fix that, and they just start telling you about all these, relationship things here and using kind of the gospel to fix all the social things, but they're not dealing with God himself. No, first you have to be reconciled with God, and then those other things, they might be fixed, or because of sin in this world, sometimes they might never be fixed. And so we need to have the priority of what we're doing, preaching the gospel. But how can our life together as a church empower our evangelism and witness? So how can this happen as a church? So this is what we're going to be looking at. So B, we need to understand the power of congregational witness. And this is where I would love for all of us to maybe just take a verse here. Who could read John 13:35? Thank you, Lori. Who could read for us John 17:20-23? Thank you, Joe. And then 1 Peter 4:9-10. Thank you, brother. And then 1 Peter 3:13-17. Yes, Rodney, thank you. Okay, so here we go. So the first thing that we see here is the display of love among Christians. The display of love among Christians, John 13:35.
you are my disciples, and you have love for one another.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's clear we are called to love one another and display this love that we have received in Christ. This is what makes us different from everyone in this world. It's our love. This love is often manifested in our works, but as Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify God the Father. And so obviously we should strive for that, but it's the love that we have towards each other. And think about this, all that we do without love, it just means nothing. And that's you have zero with God. That's why even in Galatians, when Paul, you know, deals with the whole legalism, and then he comes to the fifth chapter and he says, the main thing is that faith working through love. The faith that, if it's the faith that is real, it's going to be working through love. You're going to have the love showing in some ways. And so this is very important for us to remember that we as a body, we have to really strive to love one another, to pursue one another. And you know, what a great testimony for people who come in from the world or who can even watch us as we live at our houses having people over, and they could glance at that and say, wow, the love that they have, it's not what we know. And so next we see the display of unity among Christians. So first, the display of love among Christians is a powerful witness. Next, the display of unity among Christians. John 17:20-23.
I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through your word. Believe in me through their word. It's right at the turn of a page. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and loved them, even as you loved me.
Amen. So the congregational witness to unbelievers to see the evidence of God's power and his love, you can't show this, you know, just being by yourself. I had a man one time stop by here, and we just kind of started talking, and talking to him, it sounded like he was maybe even real believer. He just so excited about the word. And so, but then when I asked him, what church does he go to, he says, oh, I'm not part of any church, I'm just like on my own. And I'm like, oh, how are you doing with fighting sin? How is this? And he was just like backing up at that point. But you could see how he was thinking, I'm going to be fired up, I'm going to be, and that happened recently where I think something happened in his life, but he thinks that he's going to survive on his own. And I was just calling him, going to the book of Hebrews, where we've been studying with Pastor Greg on Sunday mornings. And but it was just interesting conversation to see that there's people out there who think that, no, I'm a church. I'm by myself. I'm fine. The church is just this thing, you know, out there. And, well, if we can't show the love, the unity that we have as brothers and sisters, what is the world going to look at and see? It is so vital for us to have unity and love that shows Christ to those who visit. I've been to churches as well before where, you know, you have this, you know, this unity, and people are not loving one another, and it's so ugly, it's so painful to watch, because you realize what's happening with Christ's glory, with his name at this point. So we should strive to love people, and especially love people in the congregation, in our local church. We should love people of the world, but we should love each other way, way more, so that it would be profoundly compelling for the watching world. See, we want this to shine forth. Next, we see the display of sacrifice among Christians. Display of sacrifice among Christians. Go ahead. Thank you. So in the context, he's talking about the Christian community, the love that we have for one another. the display of sacrifice for one another, hospitality. That is the great and powerful witness as well, when we're sacrificially giving to those who are in the church, to those who are in need, supporting the widows and others as well. And so sacrificially giving to those who are missionaries as well. Just like in Acts 2, as we've been studying, we must strive to share life together, giving to one another generously, doing one another's, that's in the Bible. That creates an attractiveness, an attractive witness to the people of this world. So we must be those who are not just, you know, speaking that we love one another, but love actually shows in sacrifices that we make for one another. Next, we see the display of suffering among Christians, the display of suffering among Christians. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. Rodney, did you have that?
Yeah. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, and that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
The display of how we as believers suffer brings a great testimony to the world, because they suffer without hope. You know, when they have people who pass away, there's no hope there for them. And but for us as believers, we are suffering with looking to Christ, looking at the one who is actually calling us to go outside the camp to bear reproach that he bore. And so we're following in his footsteps. And also, as we pray and suffer, you know, as we pray and support global missions, people who are missionaries who are around the world praying for those people, we are in one sense helping them financially, and so we're being part of that as well. We're being a part of the church. Is the church supporting missionaries, and as they're suffering, we could be suffering with them in that sense as well. So there's a great endeavor to suffer and to show the world that, you know, we are not just dismissing pain and suffering and putting it under the rug like nothing like that happens. No, we do get sick. We do have pains and sorrows and a lot of difficulties. But the way we go through those should be way different than the way the world goes through those times. Now, at this point, maybe we could just stop. And anything any would like to add or ask, or things that maybe come on your mind that you'd love to share? Yes. David Durant.
Notwithstanding all what you just said, it's great that we all have an individual responsibility, a corporate responsibility to evangelize the word and deed. Scripture seems to indicate an office of evangelists. I mentioned Philip the evangelist in Ephesians chapter 4. It reads, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Mm-hmm. And so, is that an active office today? Is that just code for missionary? Or is there, it seems like if it is still an office today, is it something where you maybe don't spend enough time thinking about what is that role? How would someone know if they're specifically gifted in that way to be an evangelist? What does that look like in the context of the local church? Very often, you run into these people that I think the guy you ran into that are evangelists, but they're disconnected from the local church. So you're not, can you be an evangelist but not missionary? Do you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
What would be that role or office today in the 21st century?
Yeah, I'll just give a shot and then I'll pass the baton. In that context, I believe he's talking about all those things that there will be equipping then the saints to do the work of the ministry. All those are given as gifts of God, the different categories, the evangelist, and so therefore I believe, yeah, there is such a thing as people who are evangelists who might be just called by God to go and proclaim the gospel, and Billy Graham may be one of those, I don't know, but I think what we're talking about in Ephesians talks about the body, the corporate body, where all these gifts that God has given all these men And they're supposed to be teaching the whole congregation now to go and do the work of the ministry. And so I believe kind of goes that way through the church. But go ahead, maybe something to add.
Pretty much answered what I would say. And I think you alluded to it, Dave, when you said, in a sense, it's code for missionary, in the sense that I think as that particular office is spoken of there in Ephesians 4, it's giving the connotation of those who are uniquely called and given to go to people who have not previously been evangelized with no gospel witness. And I think that's then what we see patterned in Acts with Paul and others, Stephen, Philip, and as you mentioned. So where there's a more particular calling, and I think that's how it plays out today. So we all have the responsibility to evangelize, but there are those uniquely called to go to people who have not previously been evangelized. In the same way that all of us are called to be ministers of the word, we're all called to teach God's word to brothers and sisters in Christ to build each other up. But there are those that are uniquely called to be pastor teachers.
No, that's a great question. Yeah, thank you. Any others? Thank you. Yeah, great point. Thank you. Anyone else? Well, let's move on. Point number two here, how can we implement greater witness in our lives and in our local church? So now going more practical, how can we implement greater witness in our lives? And also, can I have someone please read these passages, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, who can read that for us? Go ahead, brother. And then can we have, well, Romans 1, 16, who could do that one by memory? Thank you. Okay, then we have 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. Who could do that one for us? Go ahead. Thank you. Well, let's start. So first, under A, take opportunities with your family. So how can we implement greater witness and sharing the gospel in our lives, in our local church? Well, take opportunities with your families. This is the hardest one, I think, but make Christ and the gospel central at home. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9.
And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Thank you. Yeah, so here he's talking about regarding when he says these words that I'm giving you today and to be in your heart. Just previously he's talking about Shema, they're loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so how we ought to live then in front of our families, if to our children, it's just a great example of sharing and being constantly, you know, just reminding that we are God's people. And so we know this talking about more the law as well, in the sense of, you know, you shall love the Lord with all your heart. But how much more now that Christ came, of whom the law was speaking, of whom the law was pointing to, Christ came, we ought to be parents. We must teach the gospel all day, every day. And if you're not a parent as well, you know, to people, you know, that you have in your family, if you don't do that, then something else will be teaching them, will be influencing them. You know, TV, friends, the world will teach their own false gospel in a sense. So we must be those who just, you know, proclaiming to others and showing even with our lives that yes, we have failed to love God with all our heart, but thanks be to Christ who actually now reconciled us to God, and now we can strive to love Him by His Holy Spirit and His power. And so pray and share with those who are in your families. And this is a great, great thing, the responsibility of parents, especially, you know, to their kids. We must also live godly lives in front of our family, friends. What God has done in us, ultimately we must leave the salvation of our loved ones up to God. But then we should remember that, you know, every time even you sin, that's a great opportunity for you to share with them that, you know, you need Christ as well, you need the gospel. And so therefore you could be preaching the gospel all throughout your life. First Peter, well, we're not going to go there because of time, but ultimately we must leave, like I said this earlier, we must leave. Salvation belongs to the Lord, meaning he will save those whom he will save, but God did give us also responsibility of, you know, being those who are his ambassadors, his people who will proclaim the excellencies of Christ. Second, take opportunities at our church. At our local church, take opportunities to make Christ and the gospel central at the church. Romans 1:16, had that.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Thank you. That's a very clear, general statement in the sense of that I'm not ashamed anywhere, but I'm just going to bring it into the local church. If you're not supposed to be ashamed anywhere, how much more in the local church? Whether you serve in the children's ministry, there is great opportunities to preach the gospel. I know Pastor Gary also would say that. There's great opportunities with the youth group, that if you'd like to come along, and we have actually opportunities for you to share your testimony and share the gospel at some of our events, and then there's other opportunities. I would love to have some of you come and share what God has done through Christ in your life. And so there's college opportunities. There's all sorts of opportunities at our church, at the assistant living homes, where you could go and proclaim the word and preach the gospel through that venue. Everywhere we look, people need the gospel. That's why I love how our services are sprinkled in with the gospel. I don't know if you have noticed, Pastor Greg has never preached a sermon, I don't think, that he would not bring in the gospel, that he would not show you how, if you're not saved, this is how it applies to you. And so it's just, the gospel is the main thing. The baptism, it portrays pictures. The gospel communion points everyone to the gospel, explains the gospel. We have opportunities all over this church to preach. And there's even other opportunities, if you have time, that you could go to Sac State or other places where you could, you know, pass out tracts and talk to people, share the gospel. As a church, we should help each other and keep each other accountable. Good thing Tim is not here, but we were just at Brother Wilson's house after New Year's, and Tim was just sharing, Tim Ingram, his heart, just things that he's thinking about, you know, making New Year's resolutions. And what he shared, I thought it was amazing, because he said he would love to try to share the gospel at least once a week. I mean, and just kind of have that, not legalistically have that standard, but and opposing on others, but meaning just for himself, just to have that, have I shared the gospel this week? Oh, I don't think so. And then just try it next week or something. But just having that idea, even just such a great, you know, such a great desire to see, you know, doing what God has called us to do and preaching the gospel, sowing the seed. You know, you're not here trying to convert people somehow, but it's just, you're just sowing the seed. And are you speaking up on what God has done in your life, or sharing what maybe you're learning at the church? So our church also, we share in the global missions. That's another part, being involved in evangelism, as you know, people are planting churches, translating the Bibles. People around the world are doing the work of the ministry, and we could be partnering with them, praying, supporting them financially. Again, if me and all of us would come to church looking for opportunities, how we could share, how we could plant those seeds, we would find them. We would show the love of Christ, and so make them, you know, as you can, maybe have this heart that, you know, when you come together, when you come to the church, how are you going to encourage? How are you going to build one another up? And also, how are you going to maybe share the gospel with those who are maybe the first time are here, or Maybe there's someone who you know that they're not saved, the young ones especially. There are so many kids in our church, youth. We also should show hospitality. We should also make, people who are coming into our church, maybe those who are not part of us, make them feel welcomed and really invite them over and share with them this love of Christ, that we have received. Now next we see C, under C, take opportunities with neighbors, co-workers, and friends. Make Christ and the gospel central with non-Christian friends. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. Who could read that for us again?
I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world.
Thank you, yeah. So this is a interesting passage there. Paul is dealing with the church. Church, what was it?
There was sin in the church.
Right.
Yeah,
but I'm...
Incest.
Right, but no, I'm talking about church discipline. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Church discipline issue. And so, but there, Paul kind of highlights to us that you should have non-Christian friends. I know we're called to keep ourselves from unstained from the world. We are called in James. He talks about friendship with the world as enmity to God. And yet God wants us to be actually still live in the world, associate with those who are of the world, to bring the gospel to them. That's a paradox. I know we must go into the world, but yet we must not be part of the world. But if you don't have any non-Christian friends, that's not a good thing. Some people, they tend to, if they go to a job site where there's only Christians, they're like, yes, but actually it might not be a good thing. And if you live in neighborhoods where there's only Christians, it's kind of a, I don't know if it's such a great, I mean, probably a good thing for you. You'll have a cleaner neighborhood, but it might not be a good thing, because God desires for us to actually, to share with, those who are your neighbors, to coworkers, friends. This is where God wants you to be with those where you could shine the light of the gospel so that more would know him, more would come to know him. So we see here, make sure that you have both Christian friends and non-Christian friends. Remember, Jesus was a friend of sinners. He even called Judas his friend. He'd call him that, but we know that, a lot of times, that's where persecution comes a lot of times, and people will stab you in the back, and they will hate you for Christ, for sharing Christ, maybe, but we're called to suffer in front of them as well. So talk to non-Christians about your life in the church. If you initiate conversation, but maybe even asking when you're at work, how was your weekend? They could share, and then you have opportunities also to share how was your weekend. And don't just say, well, I went to church, but you could actually really share about what we do at the church, really share how we love each other, why do these people matter to you so much, how is it different than any other club, for example. Or so there's great opportunities for us to take these things into our homes and into our neighborhoods, coworkers, all the relationships that you build with people around you. This would be a great time to kind of pause again and just kind of any other things that come to your mind. Maybe I know preaching the gospel, I find it for your family members is the hardest probably, but maybe things that you learned about that, or down the line, any of those categories, things that you would like to share, things that you found helpful, how we can encourage one another during this time. So go ahead. Or if you have questions as well. Yes?
Well, encouraging my fellow brothers and sisters here, I would like to say that I do not share anything of Christ with my children. My children, and what encourages me is Eli and Samuel, who were godly men, but their boys went way the wrong way. And I don't do it. My son will download the podcast from my former church that I went to for 30 years, and then he'll pick at me about everything that the pastor says.
You mean it's because it's hard, or is it because you don't believe that it's your like, you're not, you don't have that responsibility in a sense?
I am too weak. Mm. I'm tired of them picking at me about the Bible, everything that the Bible says.
Yeah, well, we could be praying for you probably in that, because I know it's a difficult thing. It's like I said, yeah. Preaching to, especially if family members are kind of pushing back, and just, you know, I have the oldest brother who's not a believer, and so I'm really burdened for him, but I already shared the gospel before with him as well, and so now kind of being wise and just when can I actually share, and when can I actually just kind of build that relationship, just talk about things, you know, anyways, Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, just kind of connecting with that, I think that's a great point, and then even recognizing just the need for wisdom and patience, as Vicki alluded to. Two things come to mind. One is, and just as you alluded to, that, or you spoke of in some of the things you mentioned, we never know what part of God's working in somebody's life we might be playing. And I know for myself, there's a tendency to think, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to help bring about this change. And I have a role and I have a responsibility, but God's the one who does the work. And I never know, he's the one who knows what he's doing and how he's working in a person's life. And so just being faithful and being content with that, and knowing that he's able to do what he's designed to do. Mm-hmm. And so related to that then, especially like with family members or with people that we have ongoing contact with in the workplace or whatever, just being very patient. Mm-hmm. And yes, we want to seize every opportunity to speak of Christ and to speak the words of the gospel. We need to be faithful do that, but a lot of times once we've done that, what becomes most significant is just continuing to live Christ in front of them. Mm-hmm. And again, seizing opportunities to speak, but knowing that often they may see things and observe things, both with us and also with others, that God only knows how he's using all of that, and to just be content in that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
To kind of play off of both of what they said, my cousin and her husband and new baby were here last year at New Year's. Fast forward to this year, and they had watched a movie called The Star, because they have a baby now that watches mm-hmm. shows. And The Star apparently is about Christ's birth, and they had a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to watch this movie with them and answer some of their questions. And then Joe went a step further and took an old Bible that we have, and he highlighted all the passages that The Star dealt with, and sat down with them last weekend and was able to just walk through them, and they took the Bible home. It was amazing, but
that's nice.
I grew so impatient with my family. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were here a year ago and heard a message that was very specific at that time. It's been a year later, and God used a silly cartoon show to bring up more questions. It was really cool.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah,
some of those things about the sheep wasn't biblical, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, it's a great movie, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, thank you.
I should also want to remind us of the nature of persecution. Mm-hmm. So when we are sharing, and if we have a disposition that, things might not go well, and yet my mind is persecuted, what I'm saying,
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thanks. Dennis, where are you going?
That's always a good reminder in the home, especially with the kids. Mm-hmm. For us, for children in the home, it's trying to turn discipline and instruction and turn it to the gospel, and always trying to be reminded that it's not about them just getting better. And have that opportunity to pull a child aside. That's why we're ask for help and ask for God.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Yes, go ahead.
Years ago, we had a brother preach, and he did a cooking hour, and he used a really vivid picture of if your neighbor was in a burning house, you wouldn't think twice, you'd pull him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that a lot because it's really easy to not say something and not jump into a very intimate and vulnerable situation where you're sharing the gospel, particularly with people in your family that will not, you don't think they'll respond in a way that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
But I use that picture in the back of my mind to take that step of faith, because it is my obligation and joy to share what I know. And if this was a stranger, I would pull them from the building if I could. And mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, for sharing that. That's a great illustration. Go ahead, Lori.
One of the things that I found super helpful is just praying.
Mm-hmm.
Praying for people, telling people. Obviously believers, but I mean, right now I'm talking in the context of unbelievers. Praying for them and telling them, "I will be praying for you."
Mm-hmm.
And like at Christmas, I had an opportunity to pray with somebody who's not a believer. We talked, and I didn't get to share the full gospel, but said, "Can I pray with you?" And it was a very interesting experience. But she said yes, and it was, you know, hopefully God will take that just as a seed and use it for His eternal purposes in her life, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great opportunity to pray. Yeah, that's so very wise. Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I love how Paul in Colossians chapter 4, he starts off, verse 2 says, "Continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mysteries of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." And just walking wisdom towards the outsiders, but it's just interesting how Paul had to put that prayer before. So I remember one preacher one time said that don't talk to people before you talk about them to God. So just keeping this kind of passage in front, just talk to God first and then share with others, you know. For go ahead.
Yeah, then again, like 6, you know, 6:19, and also for me that word's been given, but he said, "Well, fast, praying all the time in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." And also for me, that word may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So now he's so praying for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Praying for those evangelistic opportunities in Colossians, and praying for boldness.
Mm-hmm. So, amen.
That's kind of the whole part of it.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you all so much for sharing as well. It's really neat to hear from you, what God has already, you know, been showing you in this. And but let's be really keeping each other accountable in this and just encouraging one another, how we could be sharing Christ with those and asking for each other's prayers, you know, that pray for me, I'm going to talk to this person, and people could be praying for you as you go. And so just being, taking those opportunities, because we're one body, and we should be praying for each other in this area. But just always be encouraged in conclusion that Christ is building his church. So the success is guaranteed. Christ, nothing's going to be able to stop what Christ is doing. So just be all the more encouraged and glad and joyful about that Christ will build his church. And obviously there's sorrow as well, as you see those who are not yet coming. But keep praying, you know, never stop saying, oh, that's it. I'm going to stop praying for this person or stop sharing with them. But having that heart of, you know, Christ might still save them. So we just entrust that to him and continue being faithful in that. So John 10:16 says, Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. It's a glorious reality that Christ, the great shepherd, is building his flock and bringing in more and more. So let's continue to encourage one another with that and growing in that. So let's pray together. Father, I just pray that as we looked at this topic of evangelism in the local church and even individually as we're just at home or at workplaces, Lord, we are very weak. We are very dependent on you. A lot of times we don't even know it, but we need you. We need your grace all the time and your wisdom. So I pray that you would help us to teach us, Lord, how to share our faith so that we would be effective, that we would do everything for the sake of Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself up for us, that we would now live out walking by the Spirit and declaring the glories of Christ to those who are in need. And I pray that, Lord, you just help all of us as a congregation as well to take opportunities here at the local church that we have in children's ministries and just welcoming people who are coming in. And there are so many opportunities, Lord. Just give us open doors, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.